As we read this account, and there came a leper to Jesus, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And Jesus strictly charged him that, and then he sent him away, and he said unto him, See that you say nothing to any man, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for the cleansing those things which Moses commanded, that it might be a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into a city, but was without in the desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. This story of the leper and the cleansing is a very touching story. This man afflicted with leprosy, coming to Jesus, kneeling down before him, begging, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you could actually cleanse me of this leprosy. Leprosy was a loathsome disease for which there was no cure. It usually started at the extremities of the body, the hands, the fingers, the toes, the feet, or the face, the head. Leprosy kills the nerve cells. It causes a swelling and a rotting of the flesh. And the flesh gradually rots away. And of course, with the rotting of the flesh, there is a horrible odor. It's repulsive. It was gruesome to see a person with leprosy who was perhaps missing fingers or a hand or even a portion of his arm, missing a foot, missing toes. Because the leprosy kills the nerve cells, even though it looks horrible, it is not painful. A person with leprosy doesn't have any sense of pain in those parts of the body that have been stricken with the leprosy. Thus, lepers oftentimes receive horrible burns. Because if you put your hand on a hot grill, you wouldn't feel the pain of the hot grill. And thus you wouldn't, as a reflex action, pull your hand away, but they would just leave it resting until the hand was horribly burned. It used to be thought, because lepers were often missing fingers or hands or toes, feet, it used to be thought that leprosy caused the parts of the body to gradually just sort of drop off. And people were always horrified to think that they might see a finger of a leper that had dropped off. But they discovered that that was not at all the case. Rats are drawn by the rotting flesh, and they come at night and nibble on the rotting flesh. And thus, the reason why they're missing toes or fingers is they've been eaten by the rats. Horrible, horrible disease. Leprosy is incurable with drugs, they are now able to arrest the development of leprosy so that a person with leprosy today can live a fairly normal life. There was, of course, on the island of Molokai, a leper colony. Father Damien became known for his selfless action in going to minister to those lepers who were living under such horrible conditions on Molokai. He did so much to help them and to better their way of life. But Father Damien developed leprosy himself and ultimately died of leprosy. The United States government maintains a leprosarium today in Carville, Louisiana, where people who have been diagnosed as having leprosy may go and be treated. Their case is arrested. They can live there at Carville, or they can now, of course, live again with their families under relatively normal conditions. The word leprosy, though, has such a connotation of horror that they no longer refer to it as leprosy. It is now called the Hansen's disease after Dr. Hansen, the Norwegian physician who first isolated and identified the leprosy bacillus. In the Bible and in Bible times, the leper was considered unclean. He was ostracized from society. He was required to cry out to any person approaching him, unclean, unclean, to warn that person from getting too close to him. The method by which leprosy was transmitted from one to another was totally unknown. It was a mysterious kind of a disease, and thus there was a mystery of its origin. There was a rotting process of the flesh, and it was progressive. It started but would just progress until you would finally take your life, and it was incurable and led ultimately to death. And thus, leprosy became scripturally a type of sin. Because of the nature of leprosy, it is so parallel to the nature of sin, the mystery of its origin, and the destroying of a life by a rotting process, how it is progressive in its nature, and the fact that it brings and leads to death. Here's a man who has this loathsome disease, incurable, and he is kneeling at the feet of Jesus, and he is declaring, if you will, you can make me clean. It's interesting that you rarely read of a leper being healed. He is cleansed. Jesus, when he commissioned his disciples, said, heal the sick and cleanse the leper. He was expressing a faith in the ability and the power of Jesus. He knew that Jesus had the power to cleanse his leprosy. I know that if you're willing, you could make me clean. And expressing his faith in the ability of Jesus Christ. To him, his cleansing was only a matter of willingness on the part of Jesus. And we read the response of Jesus to this man. It said, first of all, and Jesus moved with compassion. I love that phrase. It is so typical of our Lord. He sees this man so desperate. How far the leprosy may have progressed, we are not told. Perhaps he was missing a hand, part of his arm, perhaps missing a foot. We don't know. But looking at him and that stench that comes from the rotting flesh was so repulsive that it usually turned people away. It's an ugly sight, but it moved Jesus with compassion towards him. Jesus moved with compassion. His heart was sympathetically touched by the man's great need. Secondly, he put forth his hand and touched him. I think that he probably touched the rotting flesh. That which no man would dare to touch. Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. Now, under the Mosaic law, you were not to touch a leper. To touch a leper would constitute an uncleanness on your own part. And you would be ceremonially unclean had you touched a leper. But Jesus reached out and touched him. He probably had not been touched by another person for years. People would be afraid to touch him. But Jesus, moved with compassion, reached out and touched him. And then Jesus said those glorious words, "I will be thou clean." Lord, if you're willing. And Jesus answers, "I will." And then he speaks words of power. "Be thou clean." I think of the power of the words of Jesus. We read that immediately he was cleansed. As soon as Jesus had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed. The power of the words of Jesus. But we should not wonder that there is such power in the words of Jesus. Because we are told in John's gospel that he was with God in the beginning, and he was God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Thus, as the creator, he is the one who in Genesis 1 we read said, "Let there be light." And there was light. That awesome power in the words of Jesus. He was the one that said, "Let the firmament in the midst of the waters be divided from the waters," and it was so. And he said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. He said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind," and it was so. So he was the one that spoke into existence the world and the forms of life within it. It is interesting that the Roman centurion recognized also the power of the words of Jesus. The Roman centurion said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. But if you will just speak the word, my servant will be healed." Recognizing the power in the word of Jesus Christ. Now, how did they know that the man was instantly healed of his leprosy? No doubt the white, rotting flesh turned a pinkish color. Because as the flesh would rot, it turns white. But immediately, the whiteness of the flesh was gone, and there was just a beautiful pink color. Then Jesus commanded him, lastly, to go and show himself to the priest and offer, according to the law of Moses, those things that were required in order that he might return to a normal place in society. Now, here's an interesting thing to me. In the Mosaic Law, Leviticus chapter 14, we read, and these are the words of Moses concerning the leper in the day that he was cleansed of his leprosy. And he gave the law whereby he was to come and to be examined by the priest. He was to offer these two turtle doves. One was slain under running water that was placed in a basin. And the other dove was dipped in this bloody water and released in the open field. And the bloody water was then put upon the ear, the thumb, and the toe of the leprous man, and he was then watched for 7 days and examined again and then allowed to return to his family and return to society. But this is the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. Wait a minute. Leprosy is incurable. How is it that in the law God would make provision for a person who had an incurable disease to be cured and to return to society? Even within the law, God made provisions for his mercy and grace to be operative in the life of a person who was facing an incurable situation. I love that. Though leprosy was incurable, yet God, knowing and giving a place for his grace to work, made provision for that leper in the day of his cleansing. Looking spiritually at the text and considering leprosy as a type of sin, we see lives that are being destroyed as the result of sin. We see the rottenness eating away. We see it progressing. And there are people that have gone so far, have done so much, that they question whether or not the Lord is even willing to save them. Society has rejected them. Many of them are incarcerated and considered a danger to society and to be kept from society. And they seem to have lost any sense. They feel no pain. They seem to show no remorse for what they are and for what they've done. What happens to that person when he comes to Jesus? Life being destroyed as the result of their sin. What happens to him when they come to Jesus? And they ask, Lord, if you're willing, you could cleanse me. First of all, Jesus is moved with compassion towards that person. We look at their record sheet. We see the things that are done, and we are so often moved with anger. We say they've got what's coming to them. They deserve their punishment. The gas chamber isn't good enough for what they have done. And where we may be repulsed by them, Jesus is moved with compassion and reaches out to touch them. There's only one thing that can remove the guilt of sin from a person's life, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ, the cleansing. The Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses a man. We sing, "What can wash away my sin?" And the response, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." "What can make me whole again?" "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." "Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can for sin atone? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus." It's very true. There's nothing that you can do to undo what you have done. You cannot go back and undo your misdeeds. You cannot change what has already happened. What is. And you may be filled with remorse, but you can't change it. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. Man may look upon you with disdain and disgust, but Jesus looks upon you with compassion. And when you come to him with a sincere heart, you will hear his words, "I will. Be thou clean." 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to spend much time with the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bid, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? $1, $1. Who'll make it $2? Only $2, who'll make it $3? $3 once, $3 twice, and going for $3, but no." From the room far back came a gray-haired man, and he picked up the violin with a bow. And wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening its loosened strings, he played a melody as pure and sweet as caroling angels sing. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid for this old violin?" And he held it up with a bow. $1,000, who'll make it $2? $2,000, who'll make it $3? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone," said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand. What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred by sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice, he's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Jesus touched him and said, "I will be clean." And today your life may be battered and scarred by sin. You may be afflicted with a spiritual leprosy. But as you come to Jesus, though no one else may want to touch you, he'll touch you. But the touch is a cleansing touch. And your life can be transformed. You can be forgiven. You can be cleansed. And you can be restored. As a useful place in society once again. Nothing like the touch of Jesus. Nothing. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you that you were willing to touch our lives. You were willing to cleanse us from our sin. You were willing to give your life in order to redeem us from sin and its destructive effects. How thankful we are, Lord, that you were willing. Moved with compassion, you touched him and spoke those powerful words, "I will, be thou clean." And Lord, we pray for those today whose lives are in such desperate straits. Let them come, Lord, to you, that they might receive from you the forgiveness, the pardon, the cleansing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.